Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name. And it's appropriate. It's appropriate.
So President Trump, whether in jest or not, there's been some conversation about this, wants to and proposes renaming. I say, if you are going to be against changing names, then you should be against changing names. Don't undo Denali to make it back to Mount McKinley, though I agree with that, and then turn around and ask me to rename something we've all come to expect as the Gulf of Mexico, no matter how much your historical justification might be. But my question for Mayor D.C. Reeves, who is here with me in studio, is there has been some talk. Apparently a guy in Mississippi, a legislator, actually filed a bill to do this several years ago. So Trump is not the originator of this idea. But what I see online a lot is the Gulf of Pensacola, which seems to have more historical justification to it since, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to not support that. I mean, anything, I feel like that's my job.
That would be the ultimate dig against St. Augustine coming from a guy who made the T-shirts
right.
That said.
Or we could do like Gulf of not St. Augustine.
Oh, that would be even better. The Gulf of not St. Augustine. Yeah. I love that.
That's on the other side or something. It's a long name, but so, all I think about is whatever the name is, just leave some funding for our local municipalities to change the maps out.
You there know? You go. That's because you're going to have to
adapt.
That's
all I'm thinking about
cost.
Is, yeah, what's it going to cost me to change the name?
Somebody did have a funny suggestion and said, well, while we're at it, I mean, the moon's available as a naming. And, I mean, why should we call it the Atlantic Ocean? Why don't we call that the American Ocean? And then I say, well, the Pacific can become the West American Ocean. I mean, if we're going to go, I mean, let's go. You know, don't
you're changing the map once.
Yeah, change it every way you can do, you know. Yeah. Okay, so serious topics, though. Somebody texted, and I thought this was such a delightful idea to deal with a difficult thing. So we're talking about street bollards, talking about sidewalk bollards, talking about safety infrastructure downtown to protect people in major events. And how can we do that in a way that is placemaking instead of just security? And they said, well, we do have these pelicans. Is there an aesthetic way to even, I don't know, monetize them as something that people sponsor? You know, just thinking creatively about what won't just look like safety infrastructure, what will do the job and also beautify and also maybe generate revenue. I love the way that person's thinking.
Me too. That's must be an entrepreneur. I like that.
Sounds like a leap project.
Exactly. That's insightful. I will say along those lines, one conversation we were having about the hashtag phase one, which is Main Street, eventually will happen. Palo Fox is to that exact point is what about big planters outside of, you know, instead of the tree being on grade in the ground, in the sidewalk, mm-hmm. why not have a big planter that where the tree is really above you? And you see that all over the country where now those planters themselves become
part of the defense infrastructure.
Yeah, so we're having conversations about, how do we have a beautiful placemaking type walk on Palo Fox Street and also add some protection. So, but we'll add that to the list as well. I think that's a cool idea.
Let's see. Somebody else here says, why don't you give the owner of the Pensacola, by the way, your text to D.C. Reeves, who's here in studio with me for another 20 minutes or so, 15 minutes or so, till 8:30. Text your questions, 437-1620. Why don't you give the owner of the Pensacola Grand Hotel an ultimatum to sell it, recondition it, or the city will purchase it? After that, what's the latest with the Port of Pensacola indoor pickleball courts? Yeah. That might be the easier one to start with, actually.
Yeah, because that's quick. The outdoor courts, the outdoor portion of pickleball will be done any month now. And I have to give this reminder because it comes up. This is completely privately funded. There's no taxpayer money going to this. We end up with an amenity at no taxpayer cost. This is privately operated and funded.
But it also will be a privately owned amenity, which means they have sort of, it's a club, not necessarily, it's not public courts.
Correct.
You should not expect to be able to just walk down and play pickleball there without paying perhaps a membership or whatever they're going to do.
The same way that Roger Scott Tennis Center is a public facility, but you also pay.
That's right.
So that's why it really doesn't, in a way, it's irrelevant.
Just like the golf course.
Exactly. Yeah. So
you can't just walk on the golf course and play.
Correct. So there'll be a fee. But it should be in the coming weeks, or I think less than months, in terms of having the outdoor courts completed. And then, of course, the phase two inside.
Because the building needs a lot of work.
Correct. All right.
And then the other one was the Pensacola Grand Hotel.
Yeah. So we have met with the owners, and they have
Before you answer, I have a suggestion.
Go ahead.
Do it Trump style. Threaten military action.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I've got the resources for that.
We have a pretty good SWAT team.
We have the
Bearcat now. Yeah. I mean, you just aren't willing to embrace your Trump style.
Yeah, I see. All right. Well, if you'll take some notes for me and shoot me an email, I'll use them at the next press conference.
But back in the land of reality.
Yes. Yeah, so we've met with the owners. And listen, let's make one distinction here. This is private property. And our ability to enforce on private property comes down to code issues, mm-hmm. right? Because you can do what you want on your property. So there's a we are not the Gestapo. We don't get to come to someone and say, we are going to now take your property because we don't like what's happening
there. An underutilized, beloved former institution does not justify public intervention unless there's code violations.
Correct. And in some cases, not that property, but some cases that is happening.
Sure.
And we are taking action. So that doesn't mean, let me be clear, that does not mean we aren't doing anything. We've met with the owners. They are continuing to condition the building. Mm-hmm. So they are keeping it up and not letting it fall into disrepair. We are working with them and working with our CRA to potentially incentivize some development there. There's some challenges to that. There have been several suitors that have looked at it. But there are challenges to it, from the age of the building, all those windows that were damaged during the hurricane. That is an expensive fix. So I certainly understand where the owner is at. But to answer the question, you will see in 2025 the city be proactive in helping get a suitor there and get that building back activated, because that is, at the end of the day, what we all want. The current owner, you, the citizen, and the city all want that activated, paying taxes, an amenity of the community,
right,
and
right.
hotel rooms. There's no reason we wouldn't. So we are going to be more proactive this year and say, what can we do as a CRA, as a city, to help incentivize getting somebody in there?
And presumably the owners do too. I mean,
correct.
You know, everybody
Absolutely.
Wins when that hotel is functioning as it's supposed
yep.
to function. Oh, just a side note, we had been talking about Bourbon Street in New Orleans and the 10-mile-an-hour bollards, and somebody in law enforcement had texted me and said, do keep in mind that probably prior to this attack, the main thought was drunks, mm-hmm. drunk drivers.
Correct.
And so, you know, a 10 or 15 mile an hour resistant bollard is actually pretty functional to stop a drunk from accidentally doing something. But you got to think a whole different way when you're talking about terrorism defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure that's the case with our bollards, right? I mean, I'd be shocked if the bollards that we use for gallery night were
meant
90
for,
miles an hour, right?
Right?
I mean,
yeah.
This is the new world that we live in, and it's my job and our public safety job to adjust.
Somebody says, 437-1620, if you have questions or you want to ask the mayor something. Standing water on 9th Avenue just south of the Krispy Kreme after a big rain. Main Street by the Steel shop, the SKF now, I guess, used to be Bell. Both places after heavy rain a few days ago had standing water.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Ongoing, almost never-ending process of handling our stormwater, but thoughts
yeah.
about these two places?
And remember, when we went for a stormwater assessment at the city, you know, we get amnesia really quick about some of the big problem areas that we have. And the reason we have a stormwater assessment is to help. We are not immune at the city of Pensacola to inflation, to labor costs, mm-hmm. to all of those things. So what's the win out of that increase? Let's go to the second example, Bell Steel. We are about to go underway with a stormwater project that goes down B Street, down to Joe Patty's. That will have positive stormwater outcome for 1,667 houses. So if you did the math of what they've paid in stormwater assessment and the actual multi-millions of dollars of cost of that project, those houses got about, you know, a 40-something, 80-something year mm-hmm. you know, return on their investment for what they've been paying for that stormwater assessment. And that's how it works. We've got to have the money to go solve these problem areas. I'll have to look at the Krispy Kreme one. Further south on 9th, closer to Admiral Mason, we're doing something there. But that B Street, everything kind of north of Joe Patty, south of Garden there, all through the early letter
yeah.
streets, we'll see a significant, significant improvement all along there when that project's complete, and that is going in this year.
And I do want to mention something. I was looking at the agenda for the county that comes up on Thursday, something I didn't know was in the works, and it's not an in-the-city project, but it will benefit the city. is Carpenter's Creek. They've got $6 million coming for basically, I guess it's like soil intrusion prevention and things all along the headwaters that are, it's actually pretty close to where I live, but it's over like west of Creighton or west of Davis. And north of my brain all of a sudden. But
airport?
Like
north of airport,
more farther north than that, right by West Florida High School, like where they really, really start is they're going to put in a whole bunch of, you know, mitigation measures there for $6 million, which it's in the county. But of course, you know, that affects everybody down river from them. So or down water.
Of
from
course.
Them.
Yeah, absolutely. And Matt, Matt Posner, you know, and I we actually were just texting the other day.
Matt's the head of the Pensacola Perdido Bay Estuary Program.
Yeah, we got the national designation,
right.
Which is super exciting. And yeah, that you talk about city county collaboration. The health of Carpenter's Creek affects all of us, all the way out to our bay. So, you know, we're certainly in contact and proactive with helping them.
Chief, you can take this job and you can shovel it.
All right, we're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. He's here in studio with us for another 6 minutes, a full hour worth of just taking your questions and answering them. 437-1620. This is a New York City question. You ready?
Okay.
What do you think about congestion pricing? For?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the variable rate parking is, it's not congestion, but it's sort of in that same philosophy, right?
Yeah, I guess the philosophy you're referring to is when demand starts to overtake inventory.
Infrastructure, right,
And then how do you pay for the infrastructure moving forward? This is not an endorsement of congestion pricing.
Right, me, I know.
I don't want to leave the studio and read on Facebook that I'm about to have congestion pricing.
Even when you say it right, there's going to be people on Facebook who get it wrong. So, you know, just do your best.
So in that case, I hate it, okay? Okay, yeah, right. In New York, how about that? Yeah.
Let's see. Well, that's different. I'm just trying to work through some of these texts, the ones that are the most relevant. Just as a note, because you mentioned it yesterday, and I think it is worth reminding people, the city at the airport is putting in a cell phone lot.
Correct.
At just to the right when you come in off of airport, which will give you a place where you can sit and wait for your person who's ready to be picked up without having to tie up all the spaces at the curb, which also enhances security too, right?
Yeah, this is along the same theme of safety is a change of behavior. And right now, what we're all used to is being able to park at the curb for 30 minutes waiting on our loved one to get out of the, you know, the baggage claim. That is not normal. You know, go to any big city, you know, we are an outlier in that. And
right.
Why are we an outlier? Well, we can't really address it because we don't have anywhere to put anybody. So yeah, it'll start Monday. It take four or five weeks, mid-February. We'll have that. So that cell phone lot will be right when you come into the airport on the right. And then now we'll be able, our security folks will be able to say, hey, listen, you've been here 20 minutes. So, you know, I can understand there'll be some anxiety with that change of behavior. But now that we'll have that infrastructure in place, it should run the way it should really be running.
The white zone is for loading and unloading only.
That's
the
correct.
Red zone is.
That's correct.
Talked about a lot of things. One of the things that I do want to ask. Oh, this is an easy one of a sort, but it's one I'm sure you get many times. When are you going to bring the Pelican drop back?
Ooh, I know that's a community conversation.
It is.
From expense and one that just got significantly more expensive
because
about 5 days
ago. Because of security, right,
correct.
Yeah. So
that needs to be a county, a county commissioner saying here's $50,000 is not going to be how this happens. This is going to be a sheriff and police department and tourism, and if for this to happen, I'm philosophically okay with it, of course, but the finance can't land just on the backs of the city.
And in that same direction, you mentioned this yesterday, that because of the increased costs that are going to come from hardening our infrastructure to protect crowds post New Orleans, the county is going to really need to think about, you know, what are their obligations, because they get benefit from the bed tax and the sales tax and, you know, all the economic things that happen as a corollary of festivals, events,
correct,
and parades. And so, you know, to what degree should the city be shouldering all of these costs simply because it happens in the city? To what degree should the county be shouldering these costs because it happens in their county too?
That's correct. Yeah, exactly. That's something we need to talk about this year for sure.
Very good. Somebody says, no questions, but I want to express appreciation for the mindset of triage, stewardship, and thoughtful action that undergirds the mayor's entire approach. It's great to have a mayor who is treating the city like it's a home and a business.
Yeah.
I would add.
Well, hey, thank you. No, very kind.
Second.
I always appreciate that.
I very much second that. Portland lose.
Yes.
We you're out to bid, right? For the pads, and there were three locations.
That's correct. Yep. MLK Plaza for Palafox Market, right there at Gregory, the skate park. And we are partnering with UWF to put one in Museum Plaza, right behind the State Museum there, kind of side-saddled where Little Theater is. So that'll be helpful for Palafox Market South, as well as the events that take on that happen at Museum Plaza. So, yeah, bids are out to pour the pads and install them at those three. So we have the loos. They're ready to go. So once we have the pads, we put them in. We just didn't like the price that we got the first time, which was $140,000.
Yeah, I remember that conversation at the city council.
I was going to say, I'm going to go get hammer and nails myself at that price, you know, so.
That was my thought about why we couldn't build a connection between I-10 and the back of Navy Federal. Me and a few friends and some Bobcats can do it, and you know, for the to go onto the visitor center. They said, no. Anyway, roundabout at Barrancas and Main. While you're in there doing stormwater, can we get rid of the railroad tracks and think more strategically about that whole area? That sounds a bit impossible to me, but you're the mayor.
Yeah, there's actually rail abandonment programs. We've I've had several conversations with the rail owner of the one that goes along Main.
Yeah,
we have a general understanding that it's not needed east. We could go from A, B, C, D.
Okay,
but because the lumber yard on Main uses it still, and they need to be able to turn around.
Okay,
I'd love to get to E because of the there's a light there at Shoreline Foods. But so we've actually had, I'm not saying it's gone anywhere yet, but we've had some philosophical conversations about taking some of that and maybe turning that into some pedestrian space and something a little more safe.
We covered a lot tonight. You have the legislative delegation meeting. I think you're the second speaker. You get to follow Wes Moreno.
Okay.
You know airport. What you're asking for?
Yeah, lots of stuff. Yeah. Money. Money, Andrew.
Money, okay.
And airport.
All right, so anyway, that's tonight, by the way, at the WSRE studios at PC, Pensacola State College. Mayor, thank you.
Thank you.